Yo, the Lord is speaking to us, hey? He's telling us that He loves us. He loves us more than anyone. And that He wants to use us. So He told us through Tony, I love you. And then through Warren, He said, I want to use you like a special, beautiful instrument in my hand, like a gold or silver utensil to be useful to me. And then through Dan, He said, it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what brokenness there is in your life. As you join into community and into family, I will use that and I will shed abroad my love into your heart. And I will pour my love through you. And even through the family, you yourself will receive from me. And then through Beryl now. I want to prepare you to go out and reach the world with my love. We could just go home. It's done. Let's have coffee, yeah? You wish. So, I'm going to continue to teach. And when the Holy Spirit put this onto our hearts, I had a chat with Joe, because Joe is responsible for all of our community groups as one of the elders among us, you know, and we all submit to Joe in that area because the Lord has made him a pastoral gift, and he has what we as other elders have in far less grace, and that is the ability to love and to shepherd and to disciple and to move people forward. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to see that. And it's a beautiful thing to see the different gifts all working together and to submit under those, isn't it? And so when I was chatting with Joe, I was like, okay, Joe, what I'm going to do, because we know the Holy Spirit wants to teach us about this community and family. And are we recording this? Okay, because this is going to go. I said, I'll do the first one, and I'll just do a little introduction about, you know, how the Lord sees community, and then Joe, you're going to teach. And now it looks like it's going to turn into 3 or 4 weeks of introduction before Joe teaches us. Because as I've been looking in the Word at the concept of community and family, I'm seeing so much. Such a beautiful, wise God. And I want to share that with you. And so I'm not going to preach today as much as teach. Is that okay? Let's open our hearts to the Word of God. And so I'm going to pick up last week and remind you, because when I was putting today's message together, I couldn't remember what I said last week. I don't know about you. I wrote it all down and I taught it, and I still couldn't remember, so, you know, I thought it would be good to remind you too. Is that okay? I'll try and do the first 40 minutes of just reminding you. So we saw last week that in the book of Genesis, we find God Himself to be the source of everything. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. But before He created, He was. And God was, by nature, three people in one. The perfect community in and of Himself. Remember in Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord Jehovah, our God, Elohim, the Lord Jehovah is one, Echad. The many is one. The many are perfectly united in one. Perfectly unified. And so the nature of God Himself is perfect community and love and unity. And when we look at Him, we don't just see the one who we worship, we also see the model of how we are made to live. The way the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit relate to one another and submit to one another, and how Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing, and how the Holy Spirit reminds us of all that Jesus said. They're one. And that's our model. We are created in the image of that God who is one. And so we are made to be one. And when God made Adam, he said it's not good for a man to be alone. God has made us for community, for a relationship with him first and with each other second. And when we look at God even more, we see that he is relational. He loves relationship. If God were here physically with us today, he would be sitting very close to you, probably with his arm around you. When he made Adam and Eve, he would pick the best time of day and he would come and he would walk with them in the cool of the day in the garden. What did you call this tree, Adam? What did you call that animal? Lion. Wow, that's a good one. Watch out for him when he bites. Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know God and to know Jesus Christ. To know, that knowing God is what he desires for us. He made you so that you would know him. And know him, not know about him, have a theology degree about him, have information, but to know through personal relationship, a walk with him, an intimate walk. It's in fact, Jesus wants us to bond with God, even to become one with him in the sense that Adam knew Eve. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. God, you'll see in a second, wants us to be one with him and one with each other. Say one with him and one with each other. Okay, great. So, how important is it? And this is all last week. You'll see in a few hours we'll get to this week. How important is it that we love God and we're in relationship with him and that we love each other? How important is it? Well, it's the most important thing. A teacher of the law came to Jesus and he asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? I think you've got this. Mark chapter 12. Tanya, thank you. Which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Isn't that amazing? That's not a command. He hasn't finished yet, but he starts with what we've just said, the Shema. The teacher asked him, what's the most important commandment? And Jesus says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord, he is one. The many are one, the community of God. He starts there and he says, on the basis of that, and he continues, and you shall love him, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. Is it important that we understand this? It is important. It's the most important, Jesus said. Because if you get walking in relationship with God and walking in a loving relationship with each other, you will have everything. Wow. Wow. The greatest command contains it. What about the greatest prayer ever prayed? That's in John chapter 17. Now, some of you might have been at the 8 o'clock service last week, some at the 10 o'clock. Those at the 8 didn't get this bit. That's why I'm reminding you of this bit. So, John chapter 17, Jesus says, he prays. And can we see it together? And I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me. And this is the bit, that they may be one, even as we are one. In the same way that we Elohim are echad, are one, in the same way, let them be one with one another. Are you getting it? This is Jesus' prayer for us. This is the thing that he asks the Father for us, that as they are one, so we might be one. He continues in verse 21, and he says, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. So the first bit, that even as we are one, let they be one. And the second bit, that just as, Father, you're in me and I'm in you, that they may be in us. Sure, how do I get this across? Joe and Tanya, please help me. Come. And Warren, come. And be careful to social distance. Come over here. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are you with me? And then there's us. Jean, help me quickly. Come quicker. Yeah. Shh, hey, when we get old, trying to move, eh? Okay. And Jesus says, even as we are one, that they might be one. Come on, be one. There we go. Okay. That even as we are one, that they might be one. That's the first part of the prayer. And the second one is, even as you are in me and I am in you, that they may be in us. Thank you, guys. It's the greatest command and it's the greatest prayer that Jesus prayed. He said that even as you are in, and then in, he says, and just as, it's in the same way. There's a quality, there's an intensity, there's a power, there's a something special about the nature of God that and his community that we are to have. Are we together? And what is the reason that it's the greatest command? What is the reason that it's the thing that Jesus prayed the most earnestly for? What's the purpose of this oneness of with God and with each other? The answer is so that we might reflect the glory of God. So that we might be filled with the glory of God, and so that we might display his beauty and wisdom and power and majesty and glory to the world. In that same prayer, Jesus continues in verse 22, and it says this, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. He says, in us being the community that we are, the Trinity, the Elohim in Echad, we are glorious. No one has glory like God. And he says, in bringing them into us and in binding them together, I'm giving them the glory that we have. You don't believe me? Okay. Let's keep going. Father, he says, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am and see my glory that you have given me. That isn't to say I pray, Father, that they may come to heaven, because when he was praying, he was here on earth. He says, I pray that they, me and John, that they may be with me. With us, that they might see my glory and share my glory. Are you getting this? That we would be in him. that He would be in us, that we would see and share and display His glory, that each one of us, like different kinds of instruments, that each one of us, like different colors and textures and paint, would be a symphony together, a masterpiece together that declares the glory of the One who created us, who draws us together, who empowers us and calls us to this, that we would shine like stars in a dark and isolated and selfish world that is all about me, myself, and I, that we would be so radically different that the world would ask why, and they would see and believe in God. And finally, the pinnacle, the purpose, the power of this community, of this being one together, is not what we learn together. It's not what we experience or feel together. It's not what we do or practice together. It is the person for whom we are together, with whom we are together, in whom we are one. It is Jesus Himself that will be displayed when we are in oneness with each other and with Him. When we gather in the name of Jesus, when we gather as a community in obedience to Him, for His purposes, because we love Him, He promises to bless us with His presence and His power. Do you remember I said last week, if it wasn't for Him, we may as well be at a pub. There's all the good feelings, all the lovey-dovey, rubbing up against everyone, shouting for our football team, you know, having a beer, you know, everyone feeling cool, but there's no Jesus. That's the difference. He Himself is the reason why we meet. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That means gather in my name and obey me in obedience. Go and make disciples. And then He says, and behold, I am with you always. He promised. He's with us. That's why when we're worshiping, I love worship songs. I'm the one always singing worship songs. But that's why sometimes we pause the worship songs so that we can have the worship time, the original, the your heart connecting with His heart. Your own words, your own. Does that make sense? Because it's about Him. He's with us. Jesus said in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with us. So, when He's with us, when His presence is with us, then we have His power to transform lives. And we're getting almost to the end of last week. The main mission or purpose of Christian community is to be a proclamation, not of information, but to show, to reveal the manifest presence of Jesus among His people. Our purpose and goal is to meet together and to receive the indwelling person of God through His Holy Spirit, and to experience His power among us, and to show that, like Beryl said, to the world. We don't just gather for ourselves. We gather and then we bring everyone to the party. So, a final scripture that sums all of that up, and then we're going to move on to this week. No, I lied. Two scriptures. John chapter 14. Yeah, if you get this, this is awesome. Let's read it together. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. What is the helper going to? He's going to be. Okay, are we going to do this together? I can see everyone was like a little bit. Huh?
What did you say?
Huh? Let's say it again, and he will give you another helper to be you forever. Who's the helper? Which one of you are Holy Spirit? Joe, you are Holy Spirit. Come. So you can, thank you. You can just stay there, Holy Spirit. Wait, okay. So John chapter 14, Jesus says, I'm going to give you, if you love me, and you obey my commandments. What did I command you? To love one another? Then I'm going to send you Joe. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him. You know. Do you remember? Eternal life is to know God. You will know the Holy Spirit. You know him. Why? Because he dwells with you and will be in you. That's the Holy Spirit. Who's saying this? Jesus. So he moves from that now. Next thought, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus, come. I will not leave you. I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Sunningdale, you will see me. Why? Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. Is Jesus emphasizing this? And then he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. My Father? Come, Papa. Will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I will love him and manifest myself, show myself. I will be with you. I'm going to show you myself. And my Father will love you. Wait, it's coming. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you're going to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he's going to keep my word, and my Father will love him. My Father will love him, and we will come and to him and make our home with him. You're getting it. Thank you. Jesus said, if you love me and you keep my commands and you love one another, all three of us will be with you. Woo! Where is Declan when I need him? And the last scripture, and then we're at the end of last week. Because I knew you didn't get it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. although some of you might look like. But you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. The household. We're going to talk about the household today. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together. Say, joined together. No. Say, joined together. Grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together. Say, built together. Into a dwelling place for God. Why? What is the specialness, the beauty of this community of God? It's that he himself dwells in us. Okay, calm down. That's last week. Hallelujah for last week. Now, this week, do you know we moved the service? It's at 10:30, it's not at 10 anymore. So I can preach for another hour. Now, Jesus, having said all of that, having given us the greatest commandments, having prayed the greatest prayer, having explained to us this greatest concept of that we can be one with God and we can be one with each other, now Jesus gives a new commandment. Wow. A new commandment I give to you. That you love one another. How? Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. And by this, by your loving one another, just as in the same way, as I have loved you, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Jesus said, I'm giving you a new commandment. Think about that. God gave them the 10. I went and read the 10. And I see aspects of loving one another in the Ten Commandments. He doesn't specifically command in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt love one another. He doesn't. He says that you will have no other gods before me. You shall not worship any other gods. And then he says you will honor your father and mother. You will not commit adultery. You will not lie. You will not steal. You will not bear false witness. And so he describes loving one another, but he doesn't command it. And now, the God of the universe, he comes and he says, I've got another command. It's the 11th. It's not. It's actually the like 1,000 whatever. And he says, in the same way, just as I've loved you, in that way, you are to love one another. There's something new about it. There's something qualitatively different. There's something more. There's something of a different texture. There's something of a raising of the bar that Jesus brings in that new commandment. Well, let's find out what it is. Matthew chapter 4. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your enemy and I need glasses. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Okay? So Jesus says, you've heard, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your neighbor and your enemy and pray for him. And go the extra mile. Why? Because that's what Jesus did, didn't he? The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, enemies of God, dead in our sin, haters of God, while we were yet enemies, Jesus died for us. He's starting to show us what it looks like, this new command. He says, previously you would have hated your enemies, but now, because of my example, you are going to love them too. Why? So that we would be like our Father. Then he goes on, and I get the scripture from the Reverend Dan Matthews. He brought this scripture to my attention Thursday morning, I think it was. Oh, thank you, Dan. And it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 9 and 10. Let's listen to this. Finally, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if I was teaching like this, I would be asking you. But I'm teaching like this because I'm urging you. See, it's scriptural. We ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Could you say more and more? Now could you say it louder? More and more. More and more. Who said that? Thank you. That was how I like it. Okay? He says, you know how to walk. You know. And you'll see, it's about love in verse 9 and 10. He says, you've been taught how to walk, how to walk to please God. And you're doing it, but now, it's more and more. It's like Jesus said, you knew that you should love your neighbor, but now it's more. It's enemies too. There's something more about it. Let's read verse 9 and 10. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. There's a deeper call, Sunningdale. There's a greater call to more love, to more sacrifice, to more generosity, to greater closeness with one another, to greater intimacy with one another, to breaking boundaries and limits that we've had before, to complete devotion to one another. So how do we get there? What will change us? We need to see it. And we need to understand it. And then we will also desire it. In Romans chapter 12, the Word of God explains to us how we get somewhere where we aren't yet. It says in verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Say the renewal of your mind. We are transformed by renewing the way we think. The way that our life works as humans is we first think. Once we think something, we feel it. I've taught this before. And once we feel it, then we do it. What we think determines what we feel. What we feel determines how we will act. And what we think becomes who we are. Okay, that was too fast. I want you to just imagine a piece of chocolate cake. Okay? I want you to think about that moist center, you know, with the thick chocolate icing, you know, that and then the flake sprinkles on top, and then with that, with some cream, and you know, you've got that like fudgy like center. Yeah, are you thinking of that with me? Anybody feel like cake? I tell you, guys are going to eat chocolate cake today. Why? Because you're thinking it, and therefore you feel like it. So when we change how we think, we will change how we feel. And once we feel, we go and eat cake. We act. Are you with me? Okay, so the point being here, that what we think is what we will be. That's why, church, I'm going to just be completely transparent. That's why we're going to teach for a month on community. Because when we see it, we will want it. And when we want it, we will live it. And when we live it, we will get all that God promises for it. And the world will see that He is our God. And they will come in and they will be saved. And they will join that beautiful community with us. Our theology, the way we understand God and His plans and purposes and intents and commands for us, will determine how we live. Our old thinking is our old wineskin. Now, we talk about wineskins, and the Bible talks about wineskins, but many of us have no idea what the heck a wineskin is. Is it that little thing that if you have a glass of wine, that forms on the top when you've left it for a month? No, that's not a wineskin. That's just sif. Before there were glass wine bottles, people would store wine in a skin, some kind of a animal skin, a wine. Anyone know what it was made of? Sheepskin. Sheep's bladder, probably. Okay, no need to go into the details. But wine would be stored in there, and it would begin to ferment even more, right? And it would mature. That's the word I was looking for. It would mature, and what would happen is the skin would be impacted by the wine, and it would stretch a little bit, and they would kind of bond together, and it would be good to have an old wineskin with old wine in it. But when you get new wine, when the old wine is finished, if you pour it into the existing wineskin, it's going to break the wineskin, because the wineskin is already stretched. It's no longer supple and malleable. And are you with me? And so if you put new wine into an old wineskin, you're going to destroy the wineskin and the wine, because the wine will leak out and it will be lost. God is about to do something in us as a people, which is going to be the new wine that He's going to pour out. And what that is, it's going to be more of His presence, more of His glory, more of His power. Listen to me, I'm prophesying, I'm not teaching now. This is what He's about to do. And in order to contain it so that we are not burst, we need new wineskins. And what are the new wineskins? It's a new way of thinking. It's a new understanding of all that Jesus commands for us. The old thinking, the old wineskin, even the good, is not going to be able to contain the glory of God that He wants to pour out in and through us. And so we need to see something different. And we need to feel it. And we need to have the Holy Spirit confirm it into our hearts so that whose heart is burning right now? Anyone? Yes. We need the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts to feel it so that we want it. We want that different thing that we see, and that will cause us to live in a different way. It's just like the parable that Jesus told of the man who found the treasure in the field. And the Bible says he found the treasure in the field, and he saw it, and he wanted it, and he went away, and he sold. It says he gladly, with joy, he sold everything he had so that he might buy that field. He saw it. He found the treasure. He felt it. Treasure! I want it! And then he went and he acted in a completely different way than what he had before. Everything else that he valued, he got rid of so that he could have that. Can you see what's going to happen? Gladly. And this is exactly what happened to the new believers in the book of Acts. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And it says, all the believers were united in heart and mind. Can you see it? Okay, it's a different, it's fine. All of the believers were of one heart and mind. In order to be of one heart and mind, it means they all thought the same way. Excuse me. And they all felt the same way. You say, wow, you're expounding on that. It just says heart and mind. Okay, let's keep reading. And they felt, thinking, feeling. Are you with me? And they felt that what they owned was not their own. They felt it. And so they shared everything they had. They acted on it. Oh. And the apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And what happened? And God's great blessing was upon them. God's great favor was upon them. That in other translations it says, and the grace of God was mightily upon them. They saw together. They felt it together. They acted together. And God was greatly with them. It's exactly what I've been telling you about. Can you see that? So, if we get it, if we obtain it, if we get it by seeing it first, then let's look.
Okay. Jesus took food.
Do you think they had enough? Do you think they were too?
Love it. Love it. Thank you for what's doing.
And animal skins. It wasn't bladders.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So they would take a sheep skin, and I'm just wondering how they would sew it together. But they would
treat it. Yeah.
They would sew it together, and obviously treat it, sew it together, and then fill it up. This one. Amazing.
Okay, everybody. And I want to start with Jean. Come and share what you... Do you know what? Richard encouraged me with something after the other elder who will remain anonymous. That's how we work. We submit. We submit one to the other. And it's right. It's right. It's right. So I was encouraged by Richard... who I prefer. No, I don't. I was encouraged by Richard that there's a guy called John Piper, and he took 7 years to teach his church something. I was like, oh, wow, okay, only 7 years. Okay, that's cool. So we don't need to do it all in a month, but we're going to go there for as long as the Holy Spirit is pressing this. Okay? And we don't have to. I don't have to feed you with a fire hydrant. Do you know what I mean? You can just take it little by little bit and process. Yeah. Okay. So Jean.
Yeah. I don't know how many of you remember the prophetic pictures that we had in the recent, let's call it, 2 years. There was specifically a picture of our congregation. God is busy building a boat, and it's under construction in the harbor. And after 6 months, that picture changed to that ship is now going out the harbor into the ocean for a test journey. And that picture is changing again, or it has changed. And God was saying that he was going to allow the ship to go out into the ocean. So we can't be on that ship and still have a construction mentality and a crew that's cruising around in the harbor mentality. We need to change, and that's the new wineskin. We need to change that mentality to we're going out to experience God's wind on the ocean.
That's right. Pardon? Beryl is showing us the way. That's right. There's a totally different kind of crew that is on a ship when it's being fixed. There's, I assume, carpenters and engineers and, right? And then there's a totally other different kind of crew when that fish is, when that ship is going fishing. I feel like telling you the story about when all of us as elders went fishing. So, oh yeah, my brothers will be honored. It's me. Anyway, yeah, it wasn't pleasant for me because I get seasick, and it was about 7 hours. Yeah, and it was just anyway. Different picture. happy place. So there's a totally and we need to be changed. We need the new wineskin if we're going to go on that ship into the open sea. And if we're going to pull in a catch for the Lord and for His kingdom. Can you imagine if you took a couple of people who had paid for a holiday cruise and you put them onto a commercial fishing vessel? They come down for breakfast. I didn't buy into this. On the deck, all hands. Yeah, and the waves. Yeah, pull that net. This isn't the holiday I planned. And so there's a new way of thinking. So good. Do you see? You're just obedient to share what the Lord gives you, and it changes everything. That's what He's doing in this next season. So, can we just gather together and pray? And then I'm going to pick up on seeing this beautiful thing. And I've got, Joe, honestly, I've got probably 2 months of seeing, but let's follow the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So, can we pray? Who's going to pray for us? Come. And then we're going to end. Who's going to pray?
Lord Jesus, this needs to be somehow made life in our hearts. It's interesting that John writes and prays that you open the eyes of our hearts and not just our understanding. And I really pray, Lord Jesus, that you give us a vision. You open our eyes and help us to see what it actually is that you want to do in us and through us by building us into this community, into oneness, not just with one another, but first and foremost with you. What does it mean? What does it mean to be in you as Jesus is in you, Father? What does it mean? I really pray that you do something deep inside of us, that you give us a revelation of what that means, and then a hunger to be part of it. You've got to do it, Lord. You've got to do it. You've got to do something inside of us, Lord. And we're hearing the excitement in Lucas. But give us that excitement too. Birth something new inside of us and cause it to grow, cause it to become fruitful in us. Lord, that wanting to be together becomes more important than anything else. Not thinking, oh, it's Wednesday again, it's community. Oh, I need to go to community again. But, what an opportunity to be together with my brothers and sisters. Lord, do that in us. Birth it in us by your Holy Spirit. We need you to do it. And Jesus, thank you that you prayed it, because we know that you prayed according to your Father's will, and it will be done. And we receive it by faith that you will do it in us and make us one. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus, you were clearly open our eyes, Lord, to see what the depth of intimacy between you, the Father, and the Spirit. Just as a parent would say to a child, come try this way, or trust me when I tell you, don't do it that way, rather do it this way. I know better than you. You'll appreciate, you'll enjoy, you'll trust me. And Lord Jesus, your desire was that we would be one, like you and the Father and the Spirit were one. I pray that we would put a trust, a faith in you. That there is something so beautiful in that oneness, Lord, that we've not experienced, that we've not tasted, that we've not trusted, but that we would, that the new wineskin would be an act, a step, a leap of faith to say, Lord, I don't know, because I've not tasted, I've not experienced. But if you so desperately yearned it for us, Lord Jesus, that we too would hunger for it, as you so wanted it for us, Lord, as you prayed it so desperately for us, that we too, Lord, that we in an act of faith would say, Lord, we don't know, but Lord, give us the faith, Lord. Fill us with the faith and the desire to want it as much as you did. To want it for ourselves as much as you wanted it for us, Lord. As a parent wants it so much for a child, that we would be desperate enough for this oneness, Lord, this unity called community, this unity called oneness, that we too would be hungry for it, Lord. For something we can't see, but we trust. For something we don't know, we've tasted of a little bit, but Lord, that's not enough. We need you, Lord. Come by your Spirit. Stir it up in us. We pray this in your mighty and powerful name, Jesus.